Thank you. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Wow. Thank you. Thank you. Appreciate your spirit. 37 years ago, I was sitting down here doing what you're doing, and took a while. I finally got here. But Brother Wilkerson asked me to speak on something called delay gratification. And so that's what I'm going to speak on. Our national debt in America is $35.75 trillion. A trillion is 1,000 billion, and 1 billion is 1,000 million. So we're not going to be able to do much to help our national debt, but I'd like to help you with your personal debt. Brother House said this when he was up in age. He said, life goes by fast. And I can testify that he was telling the truth. It goes by fast. So I was in business for 15 years in Texas, built a home out in the country, beautiful home, had deer, cattle, had hay, and was able to hunt, had fish, had a river, and living a good life in business for 15 years, had that going well. And then my Southern Baptist preacher handed me a tape by a man called Jack Hiles. And it was a tape called Fresh Oil. Fresh Oil. We need some fresh oil. And I thought, no man speaketh like this man, you know. So I started getting his tapes, and every week I got his sermons, and I'm like, man, this is amazing. And then I told my preacher, I said, we should go to pastor school. He said, yeah, we'll go to pastor school. I bought the tickets, got the hotel, and then a couple days before, he says, oh, you know, this is spring break. I can't go. So luckily, I married a spiritual woman, and she said, I'll go. And if she hadn't gone, we probably wouldn't have moved up here. But she came with me, and we went to pastor school and saw, wow, this is amazing. And so I started thinking about it. Then I went to a second pastor school. And then there was a young man in the church, and he was just like you guys here, sharp haircut, sharp guy, spiritual. And he says, I feel like I want to go to Bible college. And I said, well, I got the right one for you, you know. And so I had a place in the country, and I took him back in his place, and we played the tape, Fresh Oil. I said, when he hears this tape, he'll be on board. He heard the tape, and he didn't get on board. And I said to myself, and this is just God, okay? I said to myself, well, if he won't go, then I'll go. And God moved a 35-year-old man up here with 3 kids and 2 dogs. And funny story, we were at a La Quinta Inn, and it was freezing. You know, it was in the winter. I came in the winter in January, and the dog was supposed to be outside. We had him hidden in the bathroom, and in the middle of the night, his tail was on the bathtub. He was so happy to be warm, and I'm like, what is it? I had to put him outside. I was not getting evicted for that dog, no. So I came to school, 88, took extra classes, summer school, graduated in 90, and a week after I graduated, I got a call. We went back home to Texas. I got a call. Hey, we want to hire you up here. And I thought, wow, that's a pretty good honor, you know. And that day, that very day, Brother Hiles was preaching in my hometown, which I don't know that he'd ever done it before. And so we got to go see him and talk to him. And, you know, of course, he closed the deal, you know. And that's how I got up here and I got hired on staff. So let's look at Matthew. I want to talk about Will You Delay Gratification is the title. In Matthew chapter 6, verse 19, we'll look at a verse that will be one of our verses that is applicable to the topic. Okay? So this is Jesus saying, lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourself treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust does corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for the word of God. Thank you for the wisdom that you give us in the Bible about finances. And I just pray that everyone here today will glean the ideas from the word of God and apply them to your lives. Amen. All right. So Jesus is saying, hey, don't focus just on this world here. You've got eternity in heaven. And when you take something today and you sacrifice and you invest it in heaven, you're going to get a reward that's going to last for eternity. And as college students, I mean, I don't expect you to have any extra money, you know, between the bus ministry and the church. And I mean, they're getting it, right? All of it. Who has extra money? Show, raise your hand. But you're laying up treasures by winning souls. You're laying up treasures by changing lives and things like that. So you got plenty to do here that's helping you lay up treasures. But finances is a big part of your future, whether you're in the ministry or business. If you're a pastor in a church, it's going to be a big challenge. If you're in a business, it's going to be a big challenge. So we want to look at the principles here of laying up treasures. Now, you tell people about faith and believing in Jesus, and they go, yeah, I can do that. You tell people about ask and you will receive, and they say, yeah, I can do that. You tell people, hey, knock and the door will be open. And they say, yeah, I can do that. And then you tell people, give and it shall be given. And they go, wait a minute. Hold it. Now you're getting personal. To give is to sacrifice. And to sacrifice, it's a challenge. And if you live the way the average American lives, you're not going to have anything to sacrifice. So we talked about this yesterday, about being frugal, saving money any way you can so that you will have money to give to other people. When you go out soul winning, you're trying to convince a lost person to trust in Jesus and to believe in Jesus. Now, you know for a fact that trusting in Jesus, believing in Jesus is a good life. It's a better life. Amen? It's a better life. But we go to other people and we try to tell them about it. And here's what they say in their mind. They say, man, that guy's got a haircut. Man, he don't cuss or chew and drink. And I want to do, and they want to do those things. So in reality, you think about it, they're not willing to delay a little gratification. They want to keep their worldly lifestyle, and they're willing to spend eternity in hell so that they can do that. Does that make sense? So this concept, this theme of sacrificing and delaying today for a better tomorrow is really even part of soul winning, because that's your challenge. People don't have a problem with Jesus. They see your clean lifestyle and they don't want to give up theirs. Right? I mean, that's really the main problem right there. And because of that, where do they end up? So delay gratification is, in fact, a Bible principle. Okay? Abraham was the father of the chosen people. God told him, you're going to have descendants like the stars, thousands and thousands. How long did he have to wait for Isaac? 100 years. The verse Luke 6:38 says, give and it will be given. All right. So what does that mean? You're going to sacrifice. You're going to delay your gratification. You're going to give up buying something for yourself and you're going to give it. And later, you're going to get back more. So you're going to get blessed. Look at Elijah during the famine. He goes to the widow, and the widow has a son. And they have enough meal and oil for one little biscuit. And what does he tell her? Hey, give it to me. I'm a preacher. That's preaching. But he asked her to make him a little cake. And she did. She gave. And what she told him is, hey, this is enough for me and him. We're going to eat it. And then we're going to die. We don't have any more food. There's a famine. We're going to just die. Starve. Trust me. Make me a little cake. And what happened? God provided the meal and the oil until the famine was over. So again, give and it will be given. 22 verses in the Bible about virgins. Okay, what is that? That's purity. That's delaying gratification till what? Till you get married. Okay, you'll be glad. Proverbs 21:20 says, there's treasure to be desired and oil in the dwelling of the wise, but the fool does what? Spends it up. So the Bible's teaching you need to save, you need to sacrifice, you need to save and invest some in your lifetime, not so much while you're in college. You know, you're pretty strapped here. But when you get a normal life and you can save some money, you have to do that. You understand? I understand. So you want to save because that's what the wise do. But what does the fool do? The fool spends. And society is so, I mean, to get you to spend, I mean, it's not very hard. I mean, I have Amazon, and if I go to Menards and they don't have what I want, I'll get on Amazon and I'll have it without wasting my time. You know, they make it very easy. Credit cards make it very easy for you to overspend. See what I'm saying? And then you become the slave to the credit card company. Okay? Lay up treasures in heaven. We just went through that verse. What does that mean? You're going to delay gratification on this earth, but for eternity, you're going to have the rewards. Okay? What you sow, you will reap. Now, that can be good and that can be bad. I don't know if they still have that guy with the cart at church where you go out there and you get the corn that's sweet corn, and they put the butter on it, and then they put the paprika and the salt, and maybe they put cheese or mayonnaise. You know what I'm talking about. Now, if you eat that, you're not delaying gratification. But that's an example. If you took that corn and you let it dry and you planted it, in 2 or 3 months, you could have 200 or 300 ears of corn. But if you eat it, it's gone. Another good example is Jack DeCoster. His dad died when he was a young man, and he only had a handful of chickens, 20 or 30 chickens. If it was most of us, we'd have a barbecue, and that'd be the end of it. He started letting those chickens multiply. He didn't eat the eggs. He didn't barbecue the chicken. He started growing them. And before long, he had over like 1 million chickens, and he was producing millions of eggs. And he's given literally probably hundreds of millions of dollars to ministries. You understand? Why? He delayed the gratification. Most people would take the chicken and that's it. He kept going. Okay? So, laying up treasures, like I said earlier, Bibles, teaching, changing lives, etc. That's how you lay up treasures. My story. I was blessed with this delayed gratification. I'm going to tell you how it happened. I was a little bit of a mischievous boy, to put it kindly. And my granddaddy had a farm out in the country, and my mom loved to drop me off over there for all summer and weekends. And she had 9 kids, so she could do without one. But my granddaddy, he had a creek, and we would go down there and we would catch fish, you know, catfish and perch, and we'd fry them up. And he had chickens, and we'd get up real early and get the eggs, and we'd have fried eggs and scrambled eggs. And I had a bow and arrow, and I would go out and just shoot anything, you know, maybe a cow, maybe a cactus. And then one day, there's a BB gun, little Daisy BB gun. I'm only like 5, and there's a BB gun. I'm like the only one around, you know, and I don't ask, I don't tell. I just take it and start shooting. Well, like you say, you start with a cactus, and then maybe you find a bird. They're a little more fun because they puff up when you hit them and feathers. And they might fly off. They might not. But the other thing that was really fun to shoot was wasp nests. Yeah, that's when the term hit and run came in. Hit and run. If you hit it, you better run. But I was having the time of my life just on the farm, you know, and by myself, no brothers came with me or anything, and just enjoying myself. They only went to town on Saturday. They would go to town, maybe get some coffee, maybe get some flour, you know, a few things, maybe some bacon, some things they didn't have. They had a big garden. They had cattle. So they were pretty self-sufficient out there, but they would buy a few things, and that was it. One day a week, a couple hours in town, and I would ride with them. No ice cream, no candy, no toy store. It was sad. But at the end of the day, They had no TV. We would play poker and we would play dominoes. The Lord works in mysterious ways, doesn't he? So I feel bad now that I think about it. I was probably taking advantage of them, but I used to win a lot of money playing poker. And my grandmother had a big cold cream jar, and she put my money in it, and she put it up in the pantry. I had a walk-in pantry, put it up on a high shelf where I couldn't get to it. And every night after we ate, we would sit down, and we would do poker, and we would do dominoes, and I would win some more money, and they would put it up there. So every day that I was there, after the meal, man, I'm a little kid. Now, we had 9 kids, no allowance, no money. You know, and for her to have that money and get it out, and it was like heaven. It was like a birthday every day, over and over. And again, I had no place to spend the money. We weren't going into town, and there was no Amazon. So I started getting excited every time I got to, and I started enjoying accumulating the money. Does that make sense? That's when I developed what I'm going to call delayed gratification. So that was how I got hooked into saving money instead of spending money. And I found out it can be just as much fun to save, to make money, as it is just to spend money. Now, I know in my bus route in East Chicago, I would give the kids a dollar, and they would just run to spend it, you know. Second, probably one of the best days in grade school that I had was in the second grade. And the principal came and pulled me out of class, and I said, "What did she find out now?" You know, whatever. And I went over there, and my two granddaddies were outside in the car, and they were taking me fishing. And I thought, you can't beat that. So we went out down to the coast, and we went fishing during the day, and at night, we played poker. And after 2 or 3 days, I came home with a big jar of money. I don't know, it might have been $20, something like that. A lot of half dollars and silver dollars and quarters. And I was so happy. But I can remember like it was yesterday in my kitchen, handing that to my dad, second grader, "Dad, start me a savings account at the bank." I don't ever remember getting that money back, but I remember handing it to him. But not many kids, you know, in the second grade are giving their money like that. Okay, another thing that I did as a young child that, again, my mom made a big deal out of it. I didn't, but I would watch TV and they would have these ads for missionaries. And back then, you know, you sent them a dollar, it was a lot of money. You know, it was like 5 gallons of gas, which is like $20. But so I remember taking a dollar bill and sending it off to them. And my mom watched me do that 2 or 3 times. And she made the big deal about that. And I never thought much of it. And I wouldn't even bring it up if she hadn't kept talking about it. But the point is, God had that in my heart even before I was saved, to, you know, support missionaries. Okay. Delayed gratification will affect your finances. Another thing it'll affect is your health. Okay. Your health is vital to your ministry. It's vital to the longevity of your life. If you can live an extra 10, 20 years, you can lay up more treasures in heaven. You can help more people. You can give to more people. Okay. The Bible says, do not eat too much honey. In Proverbs 25, it says it 2 different times. Now, honey is actually very good for you, but only a little bit, okay, because it's sugar. But in our society, things have so much sugar in them that they're very unhealthy. I looked at a can of tea yesterday that was supposed to be healthy, and it had 39 grams of sugar and 39 carbohydrates. So 4 grams is a teaspoon. Who can do the math? That's almost 10 teaspoons in a little old can of iced tea. All right, 10 teaspoons of sugar. So if you don't look at the label, and if you don't know, and you just drink this stuff, you're polluting your body. And you can get away with it when you're young, okay? But it will catch up with you, okay? When I was in grade school, we had breakfast at school. It was like Krispy Kreme donuts. I could put 3 on this finger, 2 on the thumb, and carry my chocolate milk every day from 1st grade to 7th grade, and then I went to public school. You'd eat all that sweet, and in the next class, the nuns would be whipping you for misbehaving. Hey, why don't you? I don't know why I'm not sinning. I don't know what it is. But then when I got home, I mean, my dad would make, we had pecan trees, and he would make pecan pies. My mom would go to the commissary and buy these big tubs of vanilla ice cream. My brother found this thing called a chocolate eclair, which is something like a, what do they call them? Boston cream at Dunkin' Donuts. So we would eat all this sugar, all this sweets. And then when we traveled, we knew where all the bakeries were. And we would go and there'd be bakeries. They didn't have Dunkin' Donuts. They had bakeries. So we'd go to a bakery. My brother would always say this, what do you have that's warm, that's fresh? And they'd bring out a big thing of cinnamon rolls, just warm and gooey. And that's how I lived. That's how my mom and dad lived. Now, here's the bad news. My grandfather had diabetes. The number one cause of a heart attack is diabetes. And he died of a heart attack. My mom got diabetes, and her kidneys failed. And the last 6 years of her life, she ended up on dialysis, which is not fun. My dad, when he went to the military, they handed him a carton of cigarettes, and he got hooked, and he smoked till he was 50. And then he quit, but he ended up getting emphysema. So the last few years of his life, he's wearing a little oxygen tank. Out of 9 kids, 2 of them drank and did some drugs, and 1 of them smoked, and 2 of my brothers, and they both died prematurely, you know, in their 40s and 50s. The rest of the family were all in our 70s and 80s and doing fine. So, Christians, what you sow, you will reap, just like the world. Now, we may stay away from alcohol and drugs and, you know, cigarettes, but if you do processed food, junk food, candy, all the stuff that they throw at you, if you don't watch it, then what you sow, you will reap, and it'll affect your health. You notice that in churches, I mean, 90% of it's health. Pray for this. It's all health issues. So you're not going to have good health by accident. So when you reach for something that's really not good for you, if you can delay that action, in the long run, you'll be glad. When you get older, you'll be glad. And you will get older sooner than you think. So look at the labels. The Bible says put a knife to your throat, you know, if you're given an appetite. Okay? If you can add 10 or 20 years, you're going to be able to do a lot more for the Lord. Okay? What happened to me, me and my wife, we tried to eat healthy, but I wasn't really sure how to do it. And me and Brother Young went to Mexico, and they have a lot of fruit. So we got a fruit plate. And I'm granted, my mom has diabetes. My granddaddy has diabetes. I'm genetically prone to have it. Plus the way all the sugar I've been eating my whole life. We ordered this big fruit plate, and then they had carrot juice. Yeah, give us a 20-ounce carrot juice. You know? One time I went to church, and I was getting ready to go to church, and I got out of the car, and I'm like shaking, and I'm like, what's wrong with me? You know? And I'm sitting in the pew, and I'm thinking, oh, yeah, you made a smoothie with a couple bananas and some strawberries and some blueberries and all this sugar. You know, fruit has sugar. So fruit's good for you, but you can't just eat it and eat it. The sugar will hurt you in the long run if you eat too much of it. And so that's what I did. And about 4 years ago, I finally, like when I got saved, the light came on. I finally realized, you know what? I can't eat all this sugar and all this carbohydrate food, okay? They say 1/3, 1 out of 3 Americans are going to have diabetes. And, of course, diabetes is going to lend you to heart attacks. So between diabetes, heart attacks, and cancer, it's all, I mean, a lot of it is related to food is what I'm saying. So learn to delay, let it go. Just, and here's the other thing. Just like being saved is better than not being saved, eating healthy is better than not eating healthy. You just don't know it because you've never done it. But you know what I'm saying? If you can just choose the healthy food and then try to grow in that and try to learn, it's something that will pay off in the long run. Okay? Mentioned this earlier. While you guys are at college, don't expect to make a lot of money or have a lot of money to give. But you got so many other things that you can do that will, you know, that you'll get blessed for. But here's a couple principles. Don't co-sign. Okay, I co-signed a note for my preacher in Texas, and then he didn't pay it, and the bank called me, he's late. And I said, oh, well, and then next month he paid it late, and the bank called me, he's late. And guess what happened? After three or four calls from the bank, I thought, you know, this guy's, he's late. You know, he doesn't have character. And so I lost respect. So if you're bad with money, and it doesn't mean you're not going to have a crisis and get in a bind, but go talk to them, do what you can, pay what you can. And don't be casual about being late and things like that. So don't co-sign. I had co-signed for another guy and got burnt. And then for the preacher, I said, well, if he doesn't pay it, I'll just pay it and consider it a gift. That's honorable, right? That's a good way of looking at it. The problem was it exposed his lack of character when it came to finances, and that hurt our relationship, okay? Avoid credit cards. If you have to have one, make sure it's a low limit. Credit cards just make it too easy. You know, you can have a bad day, and, you know, if you have a bad day on a diet, it's one day. You have a bad day with the credit card, I mean, that could ruin your year. You know what I'm saying? It can get you in a bind and things like that. All right, date spiritual, practical people that are wise with money and frugal, okay? If you're in the ministry, you got to have a frugal partner, and that's just the way it is. Brother Wilkerson talked about that yesterday in a big way. Work ethic, you know. My friend Gerald Price, he got up here to college when I did in 88, and he went to a job interview. It was like at 2 o'clock, he got there 1:45. The guy said, what are you here for? He said, interview at 2. The guy said, you're hired because so many people come late. He was there early. And we used to have prayer meetings down here, and it was funny to watch the people wait till the last second, and then they'd pull in their car and come running into the prayer meeting, you know. And just set your watch, get there a little bit early, okay? Be on time, you know. Sacrifice so that you'll have, so that you'll be on time, okay? That's work ethic. When I rent houses to people, I look for their history on the rentals. How you been doing in the last 5 or 10 years? If they've been paying, they'll pay me. If they've been bouncing around, getting evicted, then I'm going to have the same problem, and I don't want them, okay? so be reliable, have a good spirit, good attitude, et cetera. If you work for somebody, act like you own the business. Act like you own the business. I used to run the fireside room, a little restaurant for dating at the college here, and Brother Young came in. He was my boss, and we had chandeliers. We had like 10 chandeliers, and each chandelier has 8 lights. And he sends me a note, one of the lights is out, you know. And I'm like, well, what about the 99? 99 out of 100 ain't bad. The point was, he saw something that I wasn't really paying attention to. Now when I go to church, I'm looking, oh, yeah, you know, now I do it. But owners look at things different than employees. If you can start acting like you're the owner, you know, and you start caring about the boss and his equipment and his people, it'll help you. You'll get promoted. You know, you'll get leadership positions if you do that. Okay. Here's another one. Give more in service or product than you get paid for. Okay. Give more. You know how some people, you give them a job and they quote you a price and they say, can you fix that doorknob? Well, that'll be an extra, you know, and they just nickel and dime you. You don't like that. You want people to give a little extra. It's a Bible principle, the extra mile. Okay? Anytime you follow the Bible principle, you're going to be more successful. Anytime you don't, it's just going to hurt you a little bit. Before my wife got real sick, I used to come to work sometimes at 4:30 or 5 in the morning, and I'd run into some guys that got in from UPS, and they would ask me, are you just now leaving? I said, no. You know, I'm a morning person. But they would get here and they think I worked till 4 o'clock. No, I would come in early. Okay. Because I could get a lot of work done. It's quiet. And it's just what I did when I had a business. Okay. So give more in service or product than you get paid for. If you have a cell phone, leave it in the car. Okay. That's a killer. People go to the job and they want to get their phone out, and the boss is watching that. You know, he's paying you to work and you're on the phone. Don't do that, okay? Be faithful to your boss and be loyal and be reliable. Form good habits while you're here, okay? When I left here, I had good credit. And I went to the bank, and this is right before the real estate crash, and she saw my credit and she said, yeah, you can have a half a million. and your wife can too. And we bought a lot of houses when they were 50% discount because we did have good credit. Okay. And I didn't know anything about it. You know, I didn't know anything about credit, you know, but I had good credit. My dad taught me to be honest. Okay. So delayed gratification. If you're pure, when you get married, you're going to be glad. You're delaying. You'll be glad later. If you save money for old age, when you get old and you're not broke, you'll be glad you did that. If you lay up treasures in heaven, you'll be glad you did that. Last week, I was in Texas, and a coach that I had in grade school, which is over 50 years ago, he had passed away and they had his funeral. There were six of us from grade school, over 50 years that he coached us, that were at his funeral. I mean, that was the kind of influence he had. And he was very tough on us, but we were very good because he was tough on us. But I ran into one of my buddies that he said, I had gotten him a job working for a pipe company in Texas there. He come to me and said, you know any places? And I sold office furniture. I knew this company was a young company, real aggressive. I said, go over there and check that out. So he got into the pipe selling business to oil companies. And then he said, that was like 50 years ago. He said, now he owns a big oil company. He's the president. And he said, you know, it's because of you. And I was like floored. And I was like, that is really cool. Now you think about it. That's what heaven's going to be like. When you go to heaven, there'll be so many people going to come up and, you helped me and you paid this and you got me saved and you helped feed my family. You helped, you know, all these things that we're doing for the Lord. Last few days ago, I sent some money to the Samaritan Purse. Okay, you know about them. They're helping all the people in North Carolina. I don't know who's going to get helped, but some people are going to get helped, right? So when I get to heaven, there'll be people coming up because the Lord's able to track all that pretty good. Okay? Delay gratification. Okay? If you do that, and if you're good with your money, you're going to have a good testimony. Proverbs 22, it says, a good name is more important than the money. I also say this, in order to have a good name, you got to spend the money. Because there'll be times when it's a gray area, you owe me, no, I, and you just have to spend the money to buy your good name. In closing, this last verse in Matthew 13, Jesus said, heaven is like the buried treasure that a man goes through this field and he sees a little something, looks unusual, and he stops and knocks the dirt away, and it's a chest full of gold coins. And he goes, oh my, I like this. He counts it, and it's like $1 million. So he says, I'm going to get this land. The land costs, let's just say, $50,000. So he goes back, and he sells his house, he sells his cattle and his horse. The wife's mad at him, don't know what's going on. He doesn't tell anybody. He's smart, especially the wife. He doesn't tell the kids, doesn't ask the neighbors. He gets it done. He gets it sold. He gets the money, and he buys that land. Now, knowing that story, there's nothing but genius in what he did. You know, I mean, it was just genius. He was highly motivated. Because he knew the prize was much better than what he was giving up, right? It's no comparison. And that's exactly what heaven's going to be like for us. Jesus said that's what heaven's going to be like. So let's stand and have a prayer here. Lord, I thank you for the Word of God and how it shows us about delayed gratification. I want to ask right now for people by a show of hands, who will commit to the Lord right now that I'm going to change. I'm going to do better. I'm going to learn to sacrifice now for a better tomorrow. By a show of hands. Let me see your hands. Thank you. Father, we love you. Thank you for the Bible. Thank you for the wisdom. We're so blessed to have it. The world doesn't have it. Help us to share it with the world. In Christ's name, amen. Thank you very much.